Hello and welcome to this podcast from the Grace Baptist Mission Radio team. You're about to hear an episode of Serving Today, which is a program for pastors and church leaders. It will also be of interest if you're involved in discipling others, or perhaps you teach the Bible one-to-one or in a small group. Serving Today will be a helpful resource for a wide range of believers. Welcome to Serving Today, the program for the leaders in God's church. I'm Andrew Cook and I'm glad you could join me once more. How to Preach Old Testament Narrative, a new series begins. And Witnessing for Christ with Dr. John Hall. Being a church leader involves many different responsibilities, which is why this program is called Serving Today. Pastors, preachers, elders serve by teaching and applying the message of the Bible to those in their congregations. It's fair to say that some parts of Scripture are more straightforward to preach from than others. And over the next few programs, we're going to get some help with preaching from Old Testament narrative. It's good to welcome back Jim Sayers to the program. When we talk about Old Testament narrative, we're actually dealing with stories. And stories are by nature interesting because they may help to keep our hearers' attention or because they are fascinating for children. So, Jim, are these good reasons for preaching Old Testament narrative?
Well, some cultures love stories, don't they? And so it's good to be preaching stories in that culture. But the real reason why we should be preaching narrative is because, like the Apostle Paul, our ambition is to preach the whole counsel of God. So he went into all the synagogues in all the cities he went to, and he preached from all the scriptures, which includes lots of Old Testament narrative. And he tells the Corinthians, when he writes to them in 1 Corinthians 10:11, these things happened to them, these stories that are related in the narratives, these things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. So, Old Testament narrative is part of our Bibles, and our ministries will be weakened if we only preach from the New Testament.
How then should we handle these narratives correctly?
We need to add to our skills. We've got to add some tools into the toolbox. As preachers, we need to learn to preach story as a story. So often I hear someone preaching a great Old Testament narrative, but they kind of sit on top of the story and they have 3 points to their sermon and they all begin with the letter P. And I would say, just let the narrative stand up and tell its story. Preach the story as a story. By all means, break it into scenes, and maybe at the end of each scene you want to explain the doctrine and the application in that scene before you go on to the next one. But let the story do the talking.
And what steps are helpful and needed when we are looking at a story?
Well, the first step is to look at the context of the story, and there are really 3 contexts to have in mind. First of all, there's the individual context. The characters of the story are individuals, and they're very interesting, and God is dealing with them at that individual level. And we're going to see either their godliness or their sinfulness. We're going to see their strengths. We're going to see their flaws. So that's the first context. The second context is Israel. What light does this story shed on Israel's covenant relationship with God? If this story hadn't happened, how would Israel's relationship with God be different? But we've got to be very careful here. We mustn't draw a line from Israel to our own country, whether that be Britain or Kenya or Zimbabwe or India or wherever, or to go from one tribe, like the tribe of Judah, to your particular tribe, and say, well, what was true for them applies straight to us. Instead, what we've got to do is this. We must draw the line from the Lord, the God of Israel, and the people of Israel, through Christ to his church. Because in New Testament terms, the church today is the true Israel of God. We've got to be very careful that we draw that line through Christ to avoid misapplying the narrative. The third thing is that we need to look at the context of biblical theology.
Could you briefly explain what we mean by biblical theology?
The Bible is not just a collection of books. They all fit together into one wider sweep of biblical history. And so we need to think to ourselves, whenever we're looking at a particular book of Scripture, where does this fit on the timeline of Scripture? Where does this particular book fit in the light of God's revelation? So, for example, if it's Exodus, it's back near the beginning, and it's setting the agenda for so much else that happens in God's redemption history. If it's Ezra and Nehemiah, it's much later on in the story. It's after the exile. And it will look back to Exodus, but it will also look forward to Jesus. And we've got to think, in every Old Testament passage, how has this passage been applied in the New Testament? When's it been quoted? How has the New Testament understood this passage? How do these events find their fulfillment in the person and the work of Christ?
We now welcome back Dr. John Hall to Serving Today. This time his subject is Witnessing for Christ. Derek French spoke with John and asked him to describe what is meant by the term witnessing. So John told this story.
You hear you're dying, and in the process, you're going to face a terrible future. And you become very cast down about that. And then someone comes along and comes to you and says that they can cure you. And they do completely cure you, offering you a bright new future. Now, when this happens, you're so delighted with the fact that you've got a fresh start in life. You tell your family and your friends. You say, I was at death's door, but now I'm well. Come and share my joy. So when a person experiences salvation in Christ, a much greater thing has happened than recovery from a disease.
Can you explain that in a bit more detail, John?
You see, before they came to Christ, they were dying. They were on the way to an eternal hell. Then someone came to them and spoke the gospel to them. And they left their sin and believed in Christ. And according to Christ's promise, they have life now and heaven to come. They've turned and they've believed and they've lived. And this new life and hope is such a joy that they want to share that with everyone.
So that's really why Christian believers witness.
They have really good news to tell people, good news of salvation. They're able to tell this good news to people whose future is bleak and awful. Perhaps as you listen to me, your outlook in life is poor. You've got a difficult job, you're made redundant, you're ill. You're conscious of your sin. You're conscious that your life is going nowhere. As a Christian, I say to you, there really is a better way than just eating, drinking, and being merry, for tomorrow we die. There's a way now of knowing Christ which leads to life now and life in the new heaven and the new earth to come. It's much, much better than the idea of being recycled, reincarnated through various lives.
John, can you give us an illustration from the Bible of this?
The apostles laid the foundation. They gave us a body of truth which we have to pass on. And they were able to do this because they were eyewitnesses. John writes this in John 15, 26 and 27. When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. This idea of testify is to witness. And we can see from this verse in John's Gospel that a witness is someone who tells us what they have seen and heard. They'd been with Jesus from the beginning, and their job was to testify about Jesus, to tell us about Jesus. Let me give you another illustration. You're there in the street, and you witness a car accident. The car's damaged, someone's injured. How do you establish what's happened? There's no possibility of rerunning the car accident. What the judge does is gather the witnesses, and they testify or witness to what they've seen and heard. And so we have with the apostles. They saw Christ, and they wrote down his life and his words under the influence of the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. These words about Jesus' life we have written down for us in the Scriptures. So they testified to us concerning the Lord Jesus Christ.
So how are Christian believers today able to witness?
We as Christians also have experienced the truth in Christ, forgiveness of our sins a new life, and we are to give an eyewitness account of our experience of Christ to others.
How do we avoid pride in witnessing?
Well, our whole aim is to point to the Lord Jesus Christ. We shouldn't draw attention to ourselves or our own particular details or our experiences. Our experiences won't save anyone else. It's Christ who saves. And so we should tell people about the facts about the Lord Jesus Christ. You notice the scripture says the Holy Spirit will testify about me, about Christ. We're not to testify about ourselves, but about Christ.
John, can you tell us a bit more about the message we are to share with others?
Well, let's turn direct to the end of Luke's Gospel, 24 and verse 44. This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written, the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Here's both the content of the message and the command. The content of the message is that the Old Testament spoke about him. Those promises in the Old Testament which spoke about Christ were fulfilled in his life, his death, and his resurrection. And because he had come into our world, into our history, they were to speak of the fact that he was the Christ, that he had suffered, and that he had risen. And that as a consequence of that, all men everywhere were to turn from their sins, repent, and those who repented and believed in Christ would experience the forgiveness of their sins. This message was to be preached to all nations. These apostles who were to do the preaching were in a real way eyewitnesses to his death and resurrection. And they were a fulfillment too of his prophecy, because they did preach repentance and forgiveness of sins, starting at Jerusalem and then to the rest of the world.
But John, it would have been very difficult for those 12 apostles to have gone to all the world in their lifetime. Did Jesus' command mean others were to share in this work?
Each time you and I tell about the suffering and resurrection of Christ and apply it to our hearers that they must repent and believe for the forgiveness of sins, then we become part of the fulfillment of what Christ said, because he said he will be preached in his name to all nations. It's a great message. It still needs to be carried to all nations. Millions of people still haven't heard about Christ.
Well, our time is up here on Serving Today, so this is Andrew Cook saying goodbye. May the Lord give us all many opportunities to tell others about our precious Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We hope you enjoyed listening to Serving Today, a podcast from the Grace Baptist Mission Radio team. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can email us. The address is servingtoday@gbm.org.uk. That's servingtoday@gbm.org.uk. You can also follow us on Twitter. The address there is @servingtodaygbm, @servingtodaygbm. Thanks for listening and goodbye.